The question today is, what is the Holy Spirit's work in a believer after salvation? This is part 5. Now, if you've missed some of the other parts of this this question, you can go to our website, thepersuader.org, and click on our homepage on Ask the Pastor. Then you'll find all of the radio broadcasts are there, under there, listed under the question, the title of the question. And you can play them. There's about a 15-minute message. Well, it'll be really about 13 minutes because of the introduction's not there. But you can play that and review all of these questions and do it again and again and again on our website, thepersuader.org, and click on the homepage on Ask the Pastor and then on the question, and you'll hear the message there on your website. So we're dealing today in the fifth part on this question, what is the Holy Spirit's work in a believer after salvation? We said that, first of all, He teaches every believer as He sets up a classroom in their heart. He also comforts every believer, and He produces fruit in the lives of every believer. And by your fruit you're known, and that fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, good faith, and meekness, and temperance. And then we begin in part 4 to deal with the giving of gifts. Now, there's a common thinking about the gifts that man, when they're saved, God gives you those gifts. But really, those gifts are there when you're born. And they're given to every man. Even a lost man has gifts, and yet the Holy Spirit wants to use them at the point of salvation for His glory. And those given of those gifts are without repentance. In other words, God don't change His mind about that, even though you may disqualify yourself from the ministry. For example, being a pastor by divorce and remarriage, you disqualify yourself, and yet the gift's still there, and the calling could still be there. God knows what He's doing. We don't have to put Him in a box, if you please, but He gives gifts to every man. And they're without repentance. They're of different kinds. And then we got down to this point where they're given, those gifts are given to profit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now, the Greek construction refers not to the manifestation of the gift, but to the manifestation of the Lord, which is done by the Holy Spirit speaking of Him. And He does speak of the Lord Jesus and lifts Him up. John 16:13 said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." Now, we know the Scripture tells us that the Lord is light. And yet, the Lord Jesus said to us in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, how can you let your light shine? Really, you don't have any light. It's the Lord Jesus who is the light in you. But you let your light shine in the sense that He's talking about here by allowing the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you, allow them to be energized and operating in your life. And that this will cause the church to be edified or built up. And that's why the Lord gave those gifts. Ephesians 4:11-12, He said, "And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Now notice, pastors and teachers go together. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, edifying or building up the church. And as we said, 1 Corinthians 12:7 said, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." In other words, that profit withal means to be advantageous together. There are three types of gifts as far as what the Lord has given in the past and what He's dealt with. There's sign gifts. Now, these sign gifts are given for the purpose to show and confirm the Word of God. They're miracles done to vindicate the person used in performance of these miracles, that his ministry was from God. We have an example of that, showed that in John 3:2. The same came to Jesus by night. It's talked about Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, "Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him." In other words, those miracles were done to vindicate the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Nicodemus recognized that. Mark 16:17-18, and He said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, their signs followed the early New Testament church, the apostles in the New Testament church. Folks, this is not talking about handling snakes, as some people do today, or drinking deadly poison today. That's just tempting God. It's not right. It's not talking about speaking in an unknown tongue. It's speaking with new language, if you please. Your vocabulary will be different after you're saved. But there were signs that followed them in the early New Testament church. And those signs were for the unbeliever and a wicked generation, as Jesus himself said. Matthew 16:4, he said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed." So there's sign gifts that was given. And then another type of gift is a speaking gift. And these are given for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel and edifying the church. Even though the world uses them for many other things. In other words, we've had past presidents that were very gifted in speaking and moving crowds, but they sure didn't edify the church, didn't proclaim the gospel, but yet they were gifted from their birth. But God wants these for this purpose, to proclaim the gospel and edify the church. Then the third type of gifts that was given are serving gifts. The Holy Spirit does this for every believer. And even the lost people have these, but they're serving gifts. Now, these gifts are given that we might serve one another and build up one another in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, profit with all means be advantageous together. Now, since there's three types of gifts, sign gifts, speaking gifts, and serving gifts, we have to stop and think about what's today. We're living not in the New Testament church age today, but some of those gifts have passed away. In fact, sign gifts have passed away today. They primarily include tongues and healing. Now, you see, we have three times tongues are mentioned in the Bible, in Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. After that, you don't find them mentioned anymore. In fact, Paul condemns what was going on in the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14 because they were not doing things rightly. And so there were sign gifts, but they passed away. And so also the healing, as far as men having power to lay hands on and heal, that gift has been passed away. You may ask, but does God still perform miracles today? Oh, yes, he does. In fact, you can say, does he still heal? Sure he does. He is the great physician. James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, he said, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now, you notice the Lord's the one who does that. Only God can forgive sin, and only God can heal. And you realize something. Many people use this verse of Scripture and have a public service just a big service and anointing people with oil in church service. That's not what that verse says. He said, if somebody's sick, he's at home in bed. Let him call the elders. And the elders is the pastors, and they were multiple pastors of those churches in those days. And he said, come over to the house and anoint him with oil, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. But he said, the prayer of faith shall raise him up. And in other words, save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him, not because of the men and the elders, but because the Lord does that, because he's the only one who can forgive sin. Now, which is the greatest miracle? To be healed or of blindness, or to be born again? To be saved, in other words. That's the greatest miracle. To be healed of deafness or be born again? Which is the greatest miracle? For a soul to be saved is better than fire falling from heaven. People are looking for signs, but I want to tell you, we've got miracles still happening today of people being saved by the grace of God. Mark chapter 8, verse number 36, he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So there will be signs given again in the end time, but they will be for the unbelieving Jews, a wicked nation. They passed away today, but they will be again one day. For example, signs will follow the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, verse number 6, when it says these, and it's referring to the two witnesses, have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Now, the Antichrist in the last days will be performing signs which will cause unbelievers to follow him but the saints will not follow him. Folks, a saint will not be deceived. He may be shaken for a moment, but the Spirit of God's inside who teaches him and guides him into all truth. Now, Matthew 24:24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." But that phrase, "if it were possible," indicates it will not be possible to deceive the elect, the saints of God. So we don't need these sign gifts today, but many are desiring them and coveting them anyway. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Now what that is saying, he's saying you're coveting gifts, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And that more excellent way is the way of charity that's explained in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, which is God's love in action demonstrated by speaking gifts and serving gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8 through 10. The Bible it tells us about this love, God's love in action, when it said charity, which is God's love in action, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect is referring to the completed Word of God, which we possess today. We've got the Bible. We don't need any more the sign gifts. We don't need those things today. Some people say, well, Jesus was the perfect one who came. Well, that's true. In one sense, he was perfect. But here he's saying that which is perfect will come. In other words, that which is perfect, when that which is perfect is come. And Jesus had already come. So he's talking about the completed Word of God. And after that, you'll find no more sign gifts being practiced. In other words, Jesus even condemned it and said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." So sign gifts have passed away. But we still have the speaking gifts and the serving gifts, which the Holy Spirit has so graciously given us. And when we exercise these gifts, we recognize the gifts the Holy Ghost has given us and put them to use for the Lord's glory. And therefore, he's gifted. What does the Holy Spirit do for a believer? After he's saved, he gives him gifts. He teaches him. He comforts him. He produces fruit in him. And then he also calls you into service. Now, we'll have to deal with that in part number 6. And as I said, you can get all these messages. And if you'll go to the Persuader, thepersuader.org, and on the homepage, you'll find, that's our website. You'll find over on the left-hand side, you can click on Ask the Pastor. And then it'll carry you to another page and list every question we've dealt with since we've been on the radio broadcast. And you can re-hear them again. You can hear them again and again and again. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.